wake up today with this feeling. The better things are coming my way. I checked the Inside the Ropes podcast network and saw the wrestling podcast coming my way. Hey, hey, hey. Lee and Gaff are here once more. They are talking about Bound for Glory. Gonna get Makito's story. Ah, get on up when you're down. Baby, the wrestling podcast is back in town. In your podcast feeds every Friday. Go on, subscribe, you know it'll make our day. Yes, 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 we are back. Episode 5, and thus an intro from the ex-British boy band with the name of the same numerical value. And speaking of value, we do in fact value you taking the time to check out the wrestling podcast right here on the Inside the Ropes podcast network. My name is Liam, this man is Gareth.
Hey.
And welcome once more for another weekly roundup of all things outside the E. That's WRSTLING, all the graps without the E. You know the story by now. And of course, we got a big show for you this week. We are talking about Impact Wrestling's big show, Bound for Glory. And we have a huge interview with Tokyo Yoshi Pro Wrestling star Maki Ito. But first, let's get into Impact. Gareth, you had a chance to digest the show. What did you think?
Didn't live up to its potential. I think if it was getting its school report,
must try harder.
A lot of errors on their part, from my perspective. Things that could very easily have gone better. But the final three matches of the card were all strong, very enjoyable. Probably the first 90 minutes of the show, I think, could have gone much, much better for them.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones where, not dissimilar to Victory Road, which we covered earlier in the series, there's nothing wrong with it. It was fine. But it was just a real solid 5 out of 10. It didn't really aspire to more, those sort of early portions of the card. I think perhaps the only match with the potential to do so would have been the EC3 Moose cinematic match, which, to be honest with you, I was slightly surprised that for a company that's sort of renowned for this kind of match, albeit with different staff members in Jeremy Borash and Matt Hardy at the helm at the time, this one was a little bit on the pedestrian side. You know, it had a cool look and a cool feel to it, but actually once the action got going, it was kind of just a match just shot in an interesting way.
I just think it was a real missed opportunity on Impact's part. They've got all this renewed goodwill from fans off the back of Slammiversary earlier in the year and some high-profile returns. And so I think a lot of either new eyes or returning eyes to the product. And I do think they have squandered that. I feel there's probably people that maybe tuned into Bound for Glory and gone like, nah, still same old TNA.
Oh, those three letters. Harsh, harsh indeed. You're probably right, though. It was a shame. It certainly didn't meet my expectations. But as you mentioned earlier, the top three matches on the show brought it up a level. It was a top-heavy card in that regard. So we're talking about the Knockouts Championship match that was Deonna Purrazzo against the returning Sue Young, perhaps as almost predicted on this here podcast. The world title match with Rich Swann challenging Eric Young, and the match that we should probably talk about next, which was the tag team title four-way, which was Ace Austin and Madman Fulton, the North and the Good Brothers challenging, well, what should have been the Motor City Machine Guns, but ended up just being one half of the team, Chris Sabin.
Poor old Alex Shelley, he took a nasty power driver on the ramp, and it was a struggle to watch, actually, the crew come out and drag him to his feet and drag him backstage.
Yeah, which, looked brutal.
That shouldn't be happening if he's legitimately injured.
No, and this is happening all too frequently, isn't it, on televised wrestling? Sort of odd protocols in place for injuries, particularly head injuries. You don't really like to see it. But, you know, getting back to the match itself, a hell of an effort from Chris Sabin. And one thing that really did strike me during this is how nice it is to see him healthy and wrestling on a regular basis.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, he's still got it.
He really does, yeah.
He was in that match for a hell of a long time, and I thought played a really good sympathetic babyface in that respect, but hell of a performance.
Yeah, bit more of the Ace Austin show in this one as well. Now, last time we talked about this, You'd seen bits and bobs of Ace Austin. What did you think of him here?
Oh, I thought he looked fantastic. Maybe continuing in a tag team for a little while is the way to go. Keep refining those skills. It's obvious he's going to be a star. He's still super young.
23. He's so crisp, isn't he? Just wonderful to watch. And also wonderful to watch are the North. And one thing that really struck me during this match, that they have something of the Attitude Era about them as a tag team. And I'm not sure if that's the combined height. You know, they're both big guys. They're both guys that are really well put together. They're both very charismatic. Josh Alexander has a sort of hint of Kurt Angle to him. Ethan Page has a little bit of Rock to him, perhaps. You know, he's a really charismatic guy. But something about them really jumped off the screen during this match, and I shouldn't be surprised because they're generally very, very good, but in this match particularly so.
One thing that works really well in their favour is they have really strong presentation. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of teams that have that strong presentation and cohesive look.
No, there really isn't. And I don't know that I can think of many tag teams off the top of my head that are as tall as they are. You know, they're both, you know, 6 foot plus guys. They look intimidating, but they're also hyper athletic as well. So it's a really nice mix, and interested to see where they go from here. Fingers crossed Alex Shelley is back soon. We do love us some Alex Shelley on the wrestling podcast. Bumping up to the Knockouts Championship match. I really like this match.
Obviously, where Kylie Rae wasn't able to participate in the show, they had to sort of fill that gap.
Yeah, that was done in a really odd way as well. So for if you haven't seen the show,
I think that could have been handled better in terms of, I just think throwing out an open challenge is a bit of a lazy way to bridge that gap.
Mm.
And I just think it's a shame, just because I was really enjoying that storyline. I still think there was a bunch of story beats to come before Su Young returned.
Yeah, it's clear they had to fast forward this one.
You know, I'm hopeful that Kylie Rae is all okay and can come back, and they can maybe still hit some of those plot points and keep developing that. But I do think a lot of the good work that they've done storyline wise, unfortunately, was undone here.
It's a shame, but I absolutely agree. Assuming that Kylie's okay and she comes back, which I really hope she does, one way you could do it, maybe, as they haven't actually explained how Su Young has returned, perhaps you have her switch between Su Young and Suzy for the time being, and that's a way to create a bit of uncertainty, and then eventually Sue probably comes out at the expense of Kylie, and there's your feud for the Knockouts Championship, and we move from there. But yeah, it was a shame. That said, I'm always a fan of watching Su Young work. I spoke about it when she was under her Suzy guise, and I'm going to say it again here. She's just a phenomenal performer. Like, she completely inhabits the characters that she plays, and not just from the ring entrances or the quote-unquote easy bits, but things like selling or transitions between moves. She's always acting. She's always performing. And it makes her a really engaging character to watch.
My only thing I noticed in this match that sort of took me out a little bit was the ref bump.
Yeah, that's fair.
Was a bit gratuitous. You know, like, he was down for what felt like a hell of a long time. One of the things that often cuts Impact off at the knees is their own production errors.
Oh, gosh. Okay, yeah. Well, let's talk about this now.
And so, in terms of production errors, you had, in full view of the cameras, the ref taking something out of his pocket and handing it off, which is never great.
No, for sure. And I don't know if they were trying to redeem themselves by cutting away from the red mist, but yeah, we didn't really get much of that either. And it's really unfortunate. It's difficult to do under a live environment, I'm sure, but, you know, it's not helping the perception of Impact when you get these mistakes that do, unfortunately, detract from the show.
And we also had earlier in the show Rhino and Heath backstage starting a promo and then stopping and then restarting again.
Yeah.
It just, there's no good reason why you wouldn't pre-tape that. There was no need for that to have happened. You know, it's a real self-inflicted wound here by Impact.
Yep, absolutely. The other thing in this match I really want to talk about is just how good Deonna Purrazzo is. She's got such, in the same way that Su Young has, but in an entirely different delivery, she's just got such great presence. You know, she really does own the stage when she comes in, or own the ring, as it were. And I love her character as this sort of uber technical wrestler that's far and beyond everybody else. I think it really, really works. And hopefully this isn't the last we see of her with the Knockouts Championship.
Well, she signed a long-term contract with Impact going forward.
Okay.
Is my understanding. So great. I think she's going to be holding that belt a lot more in the future.
One thing I did wonder about was in her promo where she was actually issuing the open challenge.
Yes.
She used the word alive in there, which I found really odd.
I did wonder if they were going to have the win reversed because Soo Young technically isn't alive.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Maybe have Susie have to take her place and obviously get slaughtered. And there you go. Hopefully we can kind of pick up the story that was being told from there. But yeah, I don't know. That one really stuck out to me. So let's see if that one gets acted upon. And then main event time. Eric Young, the world-class maniac. As in, he has some serious issues, but at a higher level. Against Rich Swann. What did you make of this one?
Initially, couldn't get over the sight of Rich Swann sans beard.
I know. I know. It looked quite strange. It's always weird, isn't it, when you know somebody for a long time with facial hair and they shave it off. And
he almost looks like a different person without it. So, yeah, I was just transfixed. It took me a little while to kind of get used to that.
Do you know what, though? I think it really lent itself to the closing shots where he was sort of screaming or getting really fired up. Probably looked a bit more savage as a result. You know, the facial hair makes a man look far too refined, I find.
Probably my favourite outing by Eric Young.
Yeah, sure.
Of his run so far. I liked this a lot more than the Eddie Edwards match at Victory Road.
Yeah. Were you surprised at the finish?
Yeah, I was. I was expecting Eric Young to go on quite a run here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
Just because the belt seems to have jumped around a fair... You know, this is, the third change in as many months.
It's surprising, isn't it? And I'm not against it. I've never envisaged Rich Swann in a main event spot. That doesn't mean to say he's not capable. He's a wonderful pro wrestler. And hell, let's give him the chance. Let's see what happens. I'm intrigued by it. But I'm surprised. And it does feel like, in a way, it's come a little bit soon. I think you could probably say the same for the Knockouts title change as well.
Definitely, yeah. I think they could have done with, for my money, letting both the champs kind of have a little bit of a longer run. So when somebody did kind of knock them off their perch, it meant more.
Yeah, no, absolutely agreed. One more thing to talk about on this one from my end is just, I'm really surprised, and this isn't a new thing. You know, it's been going on since Impact has resumed tapings, but given that they essentially went last, in the sense that WWE and AEW had to contend with the no fans environment and still put on television. Having sat back and observed that, I'm really surprised that Impact have kind of gone the way that WWE initially went, which perhaps the least effective way we've seen thus far, where it's just an empty room and it's a very dead space. There's lots of big moments that have happened on this show and other shows. There's lots of big moves that have happened, and just the nothingness, I think, really does take away a couple of points from each match. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Even though where they film obviously isn't a huge building, it does just feel cavernous without anybody else being there.
Yeah.
Stuff gets lost. There's matches that have happened that the opening scramble here, my immediate thought was this match just doesn't work very well without a crowd to play to, to react to the big high spots. It's just a group of moves strung together with no reaction. It doesn't really work for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's difficult, and I'm surprised in a way because Impact I would consider to be one of the more creative groups out there. Generally speaking, you know, particularly if you look at things like Wrestle House or what they've done with Soo Young in the past. So the fact that they've opted for this route is a little odd to me, but there we go. One of those things, and it is a difficult time. I appreciate that. But overall, I'd say this is a reasonably good show. Top three matches, probably worth checking out. But going forward, I think they do need to look at the quality up and down the card and trying to find a way to elevate those opening matches. And that about wraps us up for Bound for Glory. That one is in the books. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Tokyo Yoshi Pro star Maki Ito. See you in a bit, because we move.
And we're back. Up next, we've got a very exciting interview with Tokyo Joshi Pro star Maki Ito. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Maki Ito, she's a former idol in Japan, which we'll hear more about during the interview. She's been with Tokyo Joshi Pro for a number of years now, making her debut in wrestling back in 2013. She's previously held the International Princess title in Tokyo Joshi Pro and the Ironman Heavy Metalweight Championship in DDT. We're talking to her ahead of her very exciting upcoming match at Wrestle Princess, which we're going to be covering on the podcast in a couple of weeks. And yeah, we think you're going to really enjoy this.
Yeah, absolutely. I was super excited for this conversation and it did not disappoint. I think it's fair to say that Ito is probably one of the most talked about Yoshi wrestlers in the world. And you can see why. She's a hell of a lot of fun, incredible charisma, and a good laugh. Also, before we jump in, a big thank you to Mr. Haku once again for stepping in on translation duties.
How would you like us to refer to you, Ito-san? Ito-chan?
Ito-chan.
Okay.
Ito-chan.
Lovely. So thank you for joining us this morning, guys.
Thank you for having us.
So our first question for you, Ito-chan.
Hi.
So last week we spoke to Takesta-san, who kindly provided, who told us all about DDT for new fans. I wondered if you could tell us about Tokyo Joshi Pro for new fans.
Tokyo Joshi Pro is new Joshi Pro because Tokyo Joshi is very creative move. So I think new Joshi Pro is
well, very different from the traditional Joshi with a long-standing history from like decades ago. We are very new and creative, both in-ring and in presentation too.
Yeah, in the interview that President Takagi did with me, he made a distinction between idol wrestling and Joshi wrestling. Is that fair?
Yes, different. Very different. But top three, Tokyo Joshi, style. Different, not idol, strong, mecha strong, very strong style. So top and under,
right, but basically when you go up to the top of the card, you'll see a lot of hard hitting, strong style. But in the rest of the card, the mid card, you'll see more fun, entertaining, comedic, intermingled with the wrestling.
Right. Okay, lovely.
To me, that seems to make it very accessible. So if you are maybe not already a fan of Joshi wrestling, you would be able to watch Tokyo Joshi Pro as a new fan and enjoy it straight away.
Yes, maybe.
Leading on from that, so we also asked Takesta-san about how he would describe himself for new fans. We wondered if you would do the same for us. Tell fans about Maki Ito.
Maki Ito is the cutest in the world wrestler and very strong head idol wrestler. And twin tail, ribbon, middle finger, red, kawaii idol wrestler.
Very good.
I don't think she could have summed herself up better.
That's great. Right, so talking about being an idol, the Japanese idol culture, for Western fans that might not understand it, could you tell us a bit about what being an idol is like?
Idol is singing, dancing and a little bit talking and merchandise signing
all your checkies.
Yes, check. Yes. Sometimes TV show.
Okay. And was this something you enjoyed doing?
A little bit. I don't like dancing, singing. I just like talking. So, live show for me fun, but I don't like sing and dance. So, ちょっと難しい, difficult.
Right. So she had a lot of mixed feelings about having to sing and dance. You know, it came with the job, something she had to do, something she wanted to do.
Right.
But since it entails a lot of mixed talents and requirements, it wasn't all, you know, everything she wanted to do.
Okay.
Sure. And what made you decide to move from being an idol into being a wrestler?
それはですね、it's boring, just boring. Idol, boring, and I want something new to try. で、そのアイドルやってる時に高木三四郎からなんか両国国技館大会 DDT 両国国技館大会でなんか踊ってくれませんかっていうオファーを受けて、それで初めてリングに立って、でなんかリングに立った方が楽しかったっていう。
So the first offer from Sanshiro Takagi was for Maki Ito to perform dance at DDT's big show at Ryogoku Sumo Hall.And she actually stepped foot in the ring and enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, I saw all those headbutts from your debut.
Headbutting
Takagi-san.
Yes. So it was very fun. So I like pro wrestling. This time change. I like pro wrestling.
You could see how much fun you were having in that very first time.
Yes, because fun.
So that was your first time in wrestling. How did the crowds compare to idol crowds?
まあ、でもなんか騒ぎたいみたいな精神は同じで、応援したいっていう精神も同じなんですけど、なんかまあこれはちょっと偏見かもしれないけど、アイドルファンはやっぱ顔をめちゃめちゃ重視してる気がして、プロレスファンはどちらかというとなんかこう、その人からにじみ出るもので応援してる気がする。それの違い。
Okay, so she finds it similar how they want to support youand how much fun they're having. But she feels that there seems to be a difference where with idol crowds, they care more about how you look, how pretty you are. Whereas when you're a wrestler, they care more about your inner self sort of oozing out, you know, your presence, who you are as a person is more important to the fans than in comparison to an idol crowd.
Interesting. That is interesting.Okay. And so we spoke about you headbutting Takagi-san. What influence did he have on your decision to join pro wrestling?
Yeah, でもそんな not Takagi's fault. I want pro wrestling.
Right. Okay. And how long did How long did it take to get used to the physicality of pro wrestling compared to what you had been doing?
Still no. I'm not good wrestling. Pro wrestling is difficult, very difficult, because I'm scary high place.
Me too.
So top row, always I think maybe I die. Oh, scary. But adrenaline があるからこう飛べるみたいな。
Right. She leverages the existence of the adrenaline in her body. Without it, she wouldn't be able to jump off high places.
Right. Yeah. だからもう、もしアドレナリンがなかったら、全然やっぱできない。今はなんかもう、とりあえずアドレナリンでどうにかしきってるみたいな。
So, yeah, she still relies a lot on the adrenaline of the moment to be able to perform inside the ring. But in Takagi-san's interview, I remember him saying, Ito used to be a fire idol, but now she is 100% for us. Oh,
mureshii! Thank you. I'm happy now. Wow.
Watching you, it does feel like you could never have done anything else.
Mm.
Just perfect pro wrestler.
Ah, oh, すごい嬉しい. I'll do my best. Continue, do my best.
Moving from being an idol to a pro wrestler seems unlikely on paper. So, like in maybe in the West, a pop star becoming pro wrestler would maybe never happen. But in Japan, several wrestlers previously were idols. Why do you think this is?
I think so. Why? I don't know. Nandaro na. Freestyle? More freestyle in ring? Stage is... いろんな人とこう協力みたいな。
There's a lot of restrictions. You have to work more with many more people. There's more freedom to perform as a wrestler.
Right.
How would you describe your philosophy towards pro wrestling? How do you try and approach each match?
うん、常にやっぱ私が一番っていう。I'm number one thinking.
She wants to ensure that she's number one, that she gets the most spotlight.
誰にもなんかこう、例えばその、レジェンドって言われてるなんか里村とかアジャコングとかなんかそういう人たちと戦ったとしても絶対なんかそのあこの人すごい人なんだとかなんかこう謙遜するんじゃなくてなんかそれでも舐め腐っていくような精神で戦うっていうなんか誰に対しても同じくっていう。
Even when she's facing legends like Meiko Satomura or Aja Kong, she wants to go into the match with the same mindset as everybody else, not taking a step back, always trying to outshine her opponent no matter who they are.
Right. And what is it like being in the ring with Satomura or Aja Kong? That must be incredible.
そう入場する直前はやっぱめちゃめちゃ緊張するしなんかやっぱその3日前ぐらいから寝れなくなっちゃうしなんかご飯とかもう食べれなくなっちゃうぐらい緊張するけどでも意外となんか会ってみるとなんかこういけちゃう全然なんかね中指とか普通に立てれる、
Okay, so from like 3 days prior to the match, she would lose sleep, lose appetite.And be super nervous until she goes through the curtain. But once she faces them in person, she's like, huh, maybe I can do this. And I think I can, flip the bird on them and I'll be fine.
Okay, good stuff. And so through wrestling, you've wrestled in the UK, I think with Pro Wrestling Eve, and in the USA as well. How have you enjoyed wrestling in different countries?
Oh, I like, very I like. Because American foreign fan, different Japanese fan, 盛り上がり方.
The foreign fans are louder. They make more noise.
More adrenaline, so right. Very fun.
Okay, that's good. And We know you like your Monster Energy drink. What's your favorite? What's your favorite flavor?
Flavor, 好きな flavor ね。好きな flavor はあのね、
mango is the best one.
I think so.
We don't have it in Japan.
Oh, really?
So you enjoy traveling just for the special monster flavors?
Yes. many bad.
Good. And speaking of the USA, again, when we spoke to Takagi-san, he said in the interview that he'd like to see you wrestle in AEW. Is this something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, I want to do AEW wrestle. I want.
Very cool. Yeah, I'd like to see that too.
So I understand your dad is a wrestling nerd.
Yes. Nerd.
And you watched death matches with him growing up. Was it exciting for you to team with Anita San in the electrocution explosion death match?
My dad is very shy,
they don't talk much.
Oh, I see.
Ito and her dad, because his dad is very shy. So she hasn't directly heard it from him, but she's pretty sure he was very stoked about it.
I'm sure.
That's so cute.
That's really
cool.
So, although he doesn't say it, Maki has seen his dad's bookshelf, where he keeps all the wrestling magazines whenever he goes in. There's an on it.
That's lovely. That's very really nice. You've teamed with Chris Brooks, who Gareth and I have seen in the UK and like a lot. You guys seem to work very well together as a team. What did you bond over? Was it the whole middle finger?
First time is very リスペクト心があって、で、それで、なんか、あ、この人は、伊藤リスペクト軍団いけるなって思って。
When Chris first approached Ito, he was very humble, down on his knees, saying, I respect you. He called for General Ito of the Respect Army. And he came out with a Ito Respect Army shirt and everything. So she was like, okay, I see this guy has some respect for me. Maybe he can work in the Ito Respect Army.
Perfect.
Smart man.
Smart man indeed, yeah. And so you've obviously got very good English. What's the most fun English swear word to say?
I don't say so word. Fuck off, dickhead.
Important to know.
Great.
So you sing your own theme song, Brooklyn the Hole. Would you like to sing more? Release more songs?
Although she does want to sing a new song, but at the same time, she finds value in continuing and keeping the same song because the fans will recognize her for that. So she thinks that she might not change her entrance theme for another 2 or 3 years.
It's a very good song. I have been listening to it a lot on Spotify recently. Are there any other wrestlers you think should sing their own theme songs? Who would be best?
To be fair, the people that already do sing their songs are Rika Tatsumi, Nodoka Tenma, Yuki Aino, and the three up girls, they sing their own song. Who else? Who's a good singer? She doesn't really care about the others.
Fair.
So, Wrestle Princess is coming up very soon. You are in a tag match opposite your oldest rival in Tokyo Yoshi Pro, Miyu Yamashita. How does it feel to be competing against Miyu at the biggest show of the year?
So recently Ito has had sort of like an enlightenment. She has a new outlook on her wrestling career. She's been working a lot harder, practicing a lot harder, and you can see the change in her matches and her fighting style. But for her, Miyu Yamashita is the person she wants to notice that the most. She wants to show Miyu Yamashita and make her realize how much she has changed more than anybody else. And to be honest, her past rivalries with Yamashita was before that transformation, when she was still a lot greener, a lot younger. So right now she feels that she can wrestle her in a very different way, and she wants to prove that to Miyu more than anybody else. So she's looking for this match to do that in this match.
Great. So you've got something to prove in this one.
Right. So regardless of who the X is, which we will get into in a little while, she wants to pin Miyu in the match, not her partner.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the partners then. So you both have an X. Do you know who your partner will be, or is this a mystery to you as well?
Oh my god.
Oh.
Is teaming with Miyu Yamashita.
Yes.
And Maki Ito's partner,
Tari.
Oh, wow.
Tari from Vienna. Of course, I think the listeners will know that she had signed with WWE, but with the pandemic, her traveling to the US has been delayed.
Right.
So she's still in Japan. She has already wrestled for Tokyo Joshi once this January at our January 4th Korakuen show. So this will be her second appearance. Speaking of which, Aja Kong also appeared on that January show too. But this time, they will be in this match, Miyu Yamashita and Aja Kong versus Maki Ito and Sari. It's going to be a banger.
Wow.
I didn't think Wrestle Princess could get any bigger.
No.
That's so exciting.
Same.
Okay, so I'm sure everybody listening to this is going to be desperate to watch. So where can international fans watch Wrestle Princess?
Wrestle Universe.
Yes. Wrestle Universe, this is the DDT group / Cyber Fight group streaming service, where, again, for 900 yen a month with first month free, you get to watch all of Tokyo Joshi, and also DDT, Gambare Pro, the other DDT group brands, as well as NOAH. And I, on my personal unofficial Twitter account, DDT English Update, I provide live translations. We can't do live, because we go live, we can't caption anything. So that's why I come in and provide full translations for everything that goes down in English. So it's easy for the international fans to follow too. Especially because Ito speaks on the microphone a lot. As she said, she likes talking, so I need to translate that all the time. But we're all ready, and we provide that in full.
Yeah, it's an incredibly helpful service, so thank you very much for doing that. And if you don't already subscribe or follow that account, I implore you to do so. Well, I think that's everything. So thank you so much for your time. Domo arigato.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
I did want to ask, is Ito-chan, do you still play Animal Crossing?
No.
No. All your villagers are dead.
Maybe. I like Fall Guys.
Mm-hmm.
Animal Crossing is, I don't know.
I haven't played that one yet. I have to do so.
Wonderful. Yeah, thank you very much for your time, guys. I think that's everything for us.
That's lovely. Yeah, this has been really fun again. I'm really excited to check out Wrestle Princess now.
It's going
to
be fun.
Thank you.
And best of luck in your match.
Okay, I'll do my best. Thank you.
Oh, man. You always do your best.
Yes, I know. But more do my best.
And that was the wonderful Maki Ito joining us there.
I can't believe she called me a dickhead.
I can.
Oh, yeah.
After that, consider me a conscripted member of the Ito Respect Army. I'm very much on her side here.
Unbelievable scenes. No, that was great stuff. What a lot of fun. So interesting to learn more about the idol culture as well. That's the kind of insight that we're looking for here on the podcast, really.
So I think Ito is somebody everybody would enjoy watching. She's always improving. She's the most entertaining. She brings a lot to the table, and I think more people should be aware of her.
Yeah, definitely. And Wrestle Princess is a very good jumping on point. So I think that's in 2 weeks' time. Do have a check on Wrestle Universe for that one. And of course, we will be covering it right here on the Wrestling Podcast. Outside of that, you can check out Tokyo Yoshi Pro's YouTube channel, where they put up a free match every week. And of course, there's some Maki Ito goodness in amongst those. So well worth getting familiar.
We'll definitely be putting some Maki Ito content up on our Twitter for people. And now over to the news. In more Wrestle Princess news and Tokyo Joshi Pro, Mei Segura of Choco Pro is going to be taking part in Wrestle Princess, which is very exciting and a step up for her.
Really exciting.
I've been watching some Choco Pro just recently. All their shows are on YouTube for free. It's so much fun and very, very wholesome. And there's going to be coverage of Choco Pro coming from us in the coming weeks.
Really excited to get stuck into some Choco Pro there. Heading over to Mexico and AAA. AAA have announced a link up with Marvel, as in Marvel Comics, which is, this is one of the coolest stories of the week, I think. So in addition to coming up with merchandise and things like that, AAA are actually installing several superhero based characters based on Marvel superheroes. So thus far we've got Arachno, which is based on Spider-Man. Leyenda Americana, which is based on Captain America. Captain America themed character in a Mexican promotion, as a good guy, no less. Interesting. Terra Purpura, who's based on Thanos. And Venenoid, who is based on Venom, Spider-Man's nemesis. I think there's more to come as well, but these are actually going to be full-time characters going forward. They've all got quite interesting costumes and stuff like that. I'm excited about this, genuinely interested. And I'll tell you for why, because my deepest regret in professional wrestling is when I was a youngster, I was informed of a wrestler named Rhino. And this excited me because when I heard Rhino, I thought Rhino from the Spider-Man TV show, as in giant man, grey suit, horns on head. So you'll imagine my disappointment in seeing large man, no suit, with an R on his chest. It was the about as big a drop-off in terms of disappointment as you could possibly get. So this is the opportunity to resolve that. And I'm looking for an El Rhino character sooner rather than later, please. Por favor.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. Any superheroes that you'd like to see AAA take a stab at?
How about Gambit? They can just bring Ace Austin in to play him.
Yeah. No mask required. Yeah, good stuff.
New Japan have announced the card for Power Struggle on November 7th. That's got sort of six pretty big matches announced so far. The one I'm probably most looking forward to, we've discussed before, Minoru Suzuki is having a rematch with Shingo Takagi for the Never Openweight title.
Oh, yes.
That should be killer.
Clear my entry for that week's Fave 5 over on ITRWrestling.com because that one's going to get it. No doubt about it.
Also on the card, we will see Toru Yano defend his King of Professional Wrestling title against Zack Sabre Jr. which will be a very interesting clash of styles.
Interesting.
I'm excited to see how young Zach counters Toriano's bullshit.
He won't. That's that. I'm
he's
just
going to get really angry, and he's just going to get very angry and then blame the Tories for his loss.
And he'll be partly right.
Also, we've got Okada taking on the Great Okan.
That one will be really interesting. Big spot for Okan.
I'm imagining shenanigans from B and Will.
Yeah, but you know, even so, you know, second match in sort of as this character, and you've got an Okada singles match. He's going to have to perform there, otherwise it's curtains.
Just thinking about people who have re-debuted recently, I'm just thinking, poor old Grandmaster Watto has died a bit of a death, hasn't he?
He's been screwed over. It should have been him and Will Ospreay, shouldn't it? You know, not Great Okan. It should have been Master Watto that took out Okada and had this very spot. Maybe they're just saving it all for Best of Super Juniors, where he turns on Taguchi.
No.
Good God.
I'd be heartbroken.
Yeah, so would I.
Taguchi has one of the best theme tunes in the business.
I love it. I walk around the house just... just humming it to myself all the time.
And then for the right to challenge for the US title, Kenta is defending against Tanahashi.
Ooh, okay. Very good, very good.
And then for the right to challenge for the double championship, the heavyweight in the IC, Kota Ibushi is defending that against Jay White. Can't imagine Kota Ibushi is going to be losing that match. However, New Japan Pro Wrestling this year seem to have been surprising us for surprise's sake.
They've gone full 2020 this year.
So you can't rule anything out, unfortunately.
No, you really can't.
Well, and last but not least, you've got Naito defending the double championship against Evil, of course. Another defense against Evil.
And that looks like a really fun card. Excited to discuss that in due course.
I really just want to see them have a really good straight match without tons of interference.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's kind of been weighed down. The whole new character's been weighed down by all the interference. And yeah, it's just got a bit grating at this point. We genuinely look forward to that one. Power Struggle. It's going to be a lot of fun. Loads of good wrestling on the go at the moment. So I know you're all wondering, what have you got on the cards for next week? Well, let me tell you. We discussed earlier in episode 1, the Ring of Honor Pure Title Tournament. Well, that reaches its conclusion over this next week. And we will be talking about the final on the show next week. In addition, from friend of the podcast, Takesta, who we discussed Ultimate Party with last week on the podcast, that show is going down and we'll be talking about that right here on the podcast too. Really, really looking forward to discussing both of those shows.
So ready for both those shows.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic week of pro wrestling. So, ahead of next week, do check us out on itrwrestling.com. As mentioned, myself and Gareth are often posting news, articles, columns, and all other bits in between up on that very website in the New Japan and elsewhere sections, so please do take a look. If you're over on the interview section, my interview with DDT President Takagi is up at the second. It is a thoroughly interesting read, if I do say so myself. He was incredibly candid. We can't thank him enough for that. So do check it out and let us know your thoughts. You can support us as well on InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. Tons of great content, including New Japan star Chris Jericho. See what I did there? As the cover star for next week. So do check that out as well. And of course, you know you can get this, the wrestling podcast, each and every week on a Friday at itrwrestling.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We're going out simultaneously going forward. So if you get them on Apple, get them on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, we'll be there on a Friday. So do come hang out with us and give us a subscribe, please. Thank you so much. That about wraps us up for this week. We've had a wonderful time talking with you guys as always. Please do keep the interaction going on our socials. That's at WrestlingPod. That's Wrestling Without the E on Twitter and Instagram. And again, don't forget, you can get in touch with us via email. That's wrestlingpod@gmail.com. Again, Wrestling Without the E. Send us your thoughts. We'd love to read them. We'd love to hear them.
And do make sure you follow all our guest socials as well. So you can find Maki Ito at @Maki_Ito. You can find Mr. Haku at Mr. Haku-san. And be sure to follow DDT English Update, which is at DDT Pro _ENG, which provides translations, news and updates for DDT Pro and Tokyo Joshi Pro and other related bits and pieces. So that would be super handy if you're planning to watch along with Wrestle Princess or Ultimate Party.
So until next time, guys, stay happy, stay safe, and enjoy the graps.